Rick Emerson radio program at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Well, if there's no Vizo, I'm going to have to have coffee.
There is Vizo. It's absurd.
I thought one of those chilling in the freezer was for me.
The ones I brought down?
Yeah, you did. The one was for you, and I assumed the other was for me.
You didn't ask. I brought it down for Jeff.
All right, that's fine.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
You need some caffeine, though, Cranky.
I really do. Like, if it's sort of, I can feel that winding down going on. You know, I need to, the problem with the Vizo is it is it's such
highly
a large, it's highly addictive. What is it? Isn't that the slogan for Slurm? It's highly addictive.
Yeah.
Is that it's huge, and it's like it fills the whole glass. And what am I trying to say? Blah, 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 no room for ice. I don't know. See, my thoughts are all slowing down.
What does
my
that
thoughts
even
are
mean?
Becoming all jumbled. I don't really know. I just know that it's 1 o'clock and I'm coming off my I'm crashing, baby. I'm just freaking out. All right, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from New York City. Let's welcome CNN radio correspondent Brian Blank joining us now. Hello, sir.
Hello from the Big Apple. How are you?
Is Steve Kastenbaum still... Where is he? Was he in the Bahamas?
No, he's at Duke. He's
at Duke. That's right. I can never remember what case he's... Is he just in a pup tent somewhere?
He's, you know, making contacts and, you know, getting ready for the big, you know, the big announcement, if there is going to be one. Could happen tomorrow.
Look, I understand CNA wanted to be first on the scene and the news gathering and the hey, but do you think that there's some sort of a cost-benefit ratio that he's losing out on here? He's missing all of these other stories while sitting down there waiting on a story that the rest of the public has kind of forgotten about.
That's a very good question, but I guess the payoff maybe will be that story will be pretty big if it breaks, but who knows?
Well, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, we'll ask the big wigs.
I guess. Is anybody, have you guys talking about Anna Nicole Smith at all right now?
Yes, we are. Have you been following that story pretty closely?
We've been following the fact. 20 minutes ago, they revealed the identity of the father.
Yeah.
So we are all a Twitter about that because it means we can, you know what it is? It's because we can forget about it now. We can forget talking about it. We can move on and we can never discuss it again.
Oh, you think that's the end of the story, huh?
Well, it's the end of the story until the Howard K. Stern gets disbarred and until they figure out how it is that this one doctor was able to prescribe like 6,000 pills to her or something. Hey, let me ask you this question. Real bluntly here, will it offend you if while we're speaking I'm pouring myself a cup of coffee?
No, not at all.
All right.
Coffee, right?
All right, yeah, just, I want you to hold on for a second. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. You stay right there. All right, you still there?
Well, I was dancing, but I've stopped.
I'm sorry. Did you need a glow stick or something?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about everybody's favorite radio DJ this week. Let's talk about Don Imus. It was mighty decent of CBS to let him start his suspension on Monday, meaning that they can squeeze this for another 3.5 days worth of publicity.
Right, exactly. Well, they said that they were going to push that back a little bit to make way for a telethon that's happening there.
Sure.
So his 2-week suspension will happen April 16th and go for the remainder of the month.
Let me ask you this. Has anybody bothered to point out the fact that this really, in the grand scheme of the Don Imus show, and really the way that show speaks and talks and the things that they have said, that if you were to list all of the horrible and offensive things that that guy has said or the people on his show have uttered over the last 25 years, this would be like 500th on the list of awful statements that have come out of his mouth.
He has said quite a few. In fact, I've got a list here if you want to go through some of these.
Why not?
Okay, Imus or his cast have called Colin Powell a weasel, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson a fat sissy, and referred to Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell of Colorado, an American Indian, as the guy from F Troop. And one more. He and his colleagues also called the New York Knicks a group of chest-thumping pimps. So
okay,
maybe
that's
it's
funny.
The climate of the politically charged atmosphere right now. Not politically, you know, just racially charged atmosphere right now that these comments really have, set a spark.
The guy from F Troop. Okay. And then we talked about the fact that, you know, when he said this, I'm not suggesting that everybody else needs to get taken and whacked the same way he's been this week. But, you know, that Bernie McGurk was in the room when he said these things. Bernie McGurk himself made, I think, what was an even worse comment immediately following what Ima said. Sin Rosenberg in the past has been either he was benched at one point, he was fired at another point, he was later brought back. This just seems like there was just nothing else going on in the news this week, and so, like, the wheel of the fickle finger of fate and fortune landed on Ima this week. It just sort of seemed, it was almost, again, it's not that it's something that people didn't care about. Obviously, some people got their nose bent out of shape about it, but it did seem to be this perfect storm of Ima saying something, no other stories happening in the news to fight for publicity, and Al Sharpton being kind of bored and feeling like people hadn't paid attention to him in a while.
Well, it is definitely something that that seems to have stuck to Imus, but not to anyone else. Nobody's really talking about his producer, like you said, who really brought up the word hose in that whole interchange right before Imus said nappy-headed hose.
Right.
But anyway, nobody's calling for, you know, the producer to make some sort of grand apology or anything like that. So I think it's because it's Imus and because this sort of thing has happened before, maybe not to this scale, but you know, this stuff just kind of seems to stick to him better than anyone else.
Do you think that Imus looks a lot like Christopher Lloyd from the Back to the Future movies? Can you sort of picture Imus standing out there by a DeLorean in the Twin Pines parking lot going, Marty, you can't screw with the space-time continuum or whatever. Can you
sort of flux capacitor,
that's
yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You can sort of picture that pretty easily. All right, so I mean, this is the bottom line. He's going to go, and the thing is, you get this is 2 weeks with pay, I'm imagining. Right? I mean, it's not like they're going to dock him 2 weeks' pay.
And no, they haven't really said that.
And we know they're not going to do it because if they were going to do it, the CBS, if they were going to dock him pay, CBS would have made sure that everybody knew that as part of their mea culpa. So Imus is going to go and he's going to sit on his cattle ranch and, you know, and drink mint juleps and get it on with his wife for 2 weeks. And well, then he's going to come back to work.
He said that he wants that suspension, that 2 week suspension, which he calls fair. He said he wants that suspension to be almost productive in a sense, so he hasn't said exactly what he's going to get up to, but it sounds as if he's maybe going to maybe make the rounds, talk to some different groups, who knows, maybe do some sort of community service, but, you know, something to that effect to maybe kind of make up for this.
Maybe he and Michael Richards can do some sort of a tour together. They can do some sort of a comedy act. They can hit the clubs as a duo.
I suppose they could.
All right. Brian Blank in New York City. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Brian Blank. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see. Somebody is sending me Tonya Harding. Let's see. This is messages from the Tonya Harding message board. Well, is one of these about... I sound like such an egomaniac. Is one of these about me? Why? Well, because this guy...
Tonya, so she still has an active message board.
Well, define active. This post, Thursday, March 16th, 2000. So not like in the strictest sense of the word. Well, I don't see the word Emerson. I'm doing word search, and I don't see the word Emerson anywhere on this page, sir, so I'm not really sure why I should care about it. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, we'll play this Portland song here in just a few. Rick, did you end up watching the Jonestown documentary last night? No, it's on my TiVo. I have not watched it as of yet, sir. He says, creepy as hell. Jim Jones definitely had some maintenance issues. God, just the part when they're talking about how he told everybody that they were voting on... Let's see. The part when they were voting on enemas. You really should wear some dark 70s glasses and a wig to the listener party and then say, drink it. You're just stepping to another plane. It's fantastic. If I had, maybe for Halloween, if we do another Halloween listener party, we'll do a Jonestown theme. Wait. We'll just call it Loyal Cult Following. There you go. We're already thinking ahead to Thanksgiving or to our Halloween party. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 11, a Loyal Cult Following. That's a great idea.
Okay, let's get through this one first.
A whole Jonestown theme.
Uh-huh. Or while we serve as, like, Kool-Aid-like drink?
Yes! And there's a huge stainless steel tub at the front of the listener party. That's a great idea, and you know it is.
You have to come dressed in the uniform?
You got red hair, actually. We could do a whole serial killer thing. You got ready. You could come as Squeaky Fromm. Fantastic. All right. Excellent. I like the way you think, Rick Emerson. All right, it's 503-733-2970. No, so the point is I did not watch the Jamestown. I got to finish my other cup of coffee. My Jamestown. Jonestown. The Jonestown documentary last night. It's sitting there. I will watch it. But I got the Shield is on tonight, so it's all very crazy. Let's do these. Then we'll play the City is Portland song. Greg, hi.
Hi. Rick, howdy. So you were talking about Howard Hughes and then, well, the Uplift Bra and Jane Russell. Actually, the other show with the underwater thing was Sophia Loren, Boy and a Dolphin.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive. I've seen both shows. And the other one with Jane Russell was called The Outlaw.
Well, I'm getting more confused because I think Jane Russell did numerous films, but I swear to God, Howard Hughes, we're such men. We're sitting pondering. I've got hot and cold running internet pornography now. Hey, There's no reason for me to go back and look at some film where you can't even see anything.
Listen, I'm in the age that I know those things because I've seen them. So it's true, yeah.
Was that a sentence you didn't quite finish? It sounded like you were going to say, I've seen them dozens and dozens of times.
Many, many times.
I'm pretty sure that Jane Russell, though, did a movie where she was underwater in a tiny bikini, and here's why I know this. Because I remember the tagline to the film, and the tagline, I swear to God, this is true, I'm not trying to work blue here, the tagline, because it was in 3D, it was underwater, and it was Jane Russell's enormous breasts in the film. They were the stars of the film, basically. And the tagline for the film was, "It'll knock both your eyes out." I swear to God, that was the tagline for the film.
So that one I have not seen.
So maybe I'm conflating all the things in my head, but that's what I remember.
All right.
Because
well,
I am
that one
pathetic.
I haven't seen, and I think you may be right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Let's see. Where do we have the, with the hole and the hey-hey and the,
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George in Wilsonville. Hello,
hi, Rick.
Hi.
The Bush administration and Cheney in power, we're all in Jonestown now. But, anyways, I wanted to thank you for...
I'm going to just give that a pass.
Oh, George. I love how he sneaks those things in.
Seriously.
Well,
that's
why it resonates so much right now, I think.
No. Let's just start again. Let's start the phone call again now.
All right.
Okay, hi.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Thanks for turning me on to Entourage and thereby bringing Jeremy Piven into my life.
Uh-huh.
And also, thanks for helping me find my favorite, my absolute best GPS voice candidate ever, which would be Kevin Dillon as Johnny Drama. Next time you're watching the show, just think about that.
I don't see it. I think if anybody from that show is going to be a GPS voice, clearly it ought to be Ari, followed by Turtle. I would accept Turtle as a GPS voice.
No Johnny Drama.
No, because what would he really say?
The cocky confidence, the complete lack of self-doubt.
Look, let me just say this. And I'm not going to sit and talk a lot about Entourage because most people don't have HBO. And of the people who watch HBO, most of them watch The Sopranos, but not everybody. Entourage is really a niche program. But
I don't have HBO. I just use it from Netflix.
I'm just going to say this, though, but about Entourage. The really slick thing that they should do is because, Johnny, there's this whole plot on Entourage where Drama is getting that Ed Burns television show. I don't know why they don't make, like, some mock episodes of that television show and then sell them put them on HBO, put them on one of the other networks, or then make them available online for, like, $1.99 because at the hideous iTunes store, you can download a bunch of See, and I say it just for that smug. Tim doesn't even say anything. He just looks over and smiles and goes back to typing away. You go to the iTunes store, like, $1.99. You can watch episodes of Lost if that's the... Like, if you've run out of knitting needles to jab into your testicles, you can watch episodes of Lost for $1.99 each. But they ought to make some faux episodes of that Five Brothers.
Oh, I'm there. I'm there.
Show.
That'd be a great spinoff, and it could get a life of its own.
I don't know why I for the longest time suspected that they were going to be doing an Aquaman thing with James Cameron in real life. I'm still kind of bummed out that wasn't.
Well, next time you see the show, and like I said, I don't have HBO. I just get it from Netflix, so anybody can join.
Yes.
Just picture Johnny Drama giving you commands to turn left or right or whatever.
Right.
And since I am one big fiesta for the man love, that techno popcorn, who created that?
The original artist was a band called Hot Butter, but
right.
This is a techno remix of it. I don't know who did the mix.
Oh, you got please to find out.
Well, no, because if I tell you, then you can own it yourself. Then you have no... If I give you this, then you'll have no reason to listen to me.
But can we get, you usually only play it for, 10 seconds to give people time to think it over?
Yeah.
Can you extend that to, 25 so I can get my groove on?
No, but thank you. That's George. It's 5:03. We're done. Well, seriously, the answer is no. How many times do you want me to go? I can't gild the lily. He asked a question. Rick Emerson gives him a straight-up answer. And we're done. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, about listener party 11. Think of all the cult leaders and serial killers there are to come as. A Mooney, a Branch Davidian, a Manson family member, Heaven's Gate cultist. This is a great idea. Susan, make note. We've already got things ready for listener party 11. You just make a note. Okay, so speaking of which... Okay, this is just for George. I'm going to play this while I finish my coffee, and then we'll talk about Listener Party 10, which is now just 9 short days away. Stay right there. Right there. All right. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Bottom of the hour, we'll have more news from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scotty J, we're going to do a top five songs to listen to with the top down. Dennis Pitchenbarger is going to be here. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7, etc. I will say this, and Sarah and I were talking about this before the program, that last night, because we've got there for the Listener Party 10, which is coming up just 9 short days from today, Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m., Barracuda, Emerson History X, featuring music by Emerson Starship and Hit Me Baby, featuring a very, 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 very special mystery guest whose identity we cannot reveal at this time, featuring a cast of thousands, featuring a huge display of artifacts, memorabilia, rare photographs, never-before-seen items from the history of the Rick Emerson Show. So last night I was sorting through literally hundreds, not thousands, but hundreds and hundreds of photographs that we're going to put together into various displays. And I don't want to tip the hat about all the stuff that we're going to have, but one of the displays that we're going to have at the Listener Party is a sort of a Listener Party through time, showing a series of photos from each Listener Party that we have done. And I'm going to tell you, and I tried to send Sarah a text message about this, and my phone was being uncooperative, but I tried to send you a text message last night. And I'm kind of glad I didn't, because it would have sounded like I was drunk or high or something, because it was the message that I tried to send, and then it just sat in my outbox, it wouldn't go out, was, and it was like, I'm sitting here looking through all of these photographs. It's like that scene in Singles where Campbell Scott's like, I was just sitting here having many beers, but I was sitting...
Not the bathroom!
I was sitting at my desk, and I sent this text message to Sarah, or tried to, and said, I'm just sitting here looking through all these photographs. What, you know, this is so weird. I am having the strangest, you know, pastiche of feelings. I just don't even know how to feel about all this. It was just so weird. And it's not like it was nostalgia as such, or like, it didn't make me feel old, I guess. That's not really the right way. It's just weird. I mean, we've been doing this for almost 10 years in one fashion or another. We've been doing this version of the show for half a decade. We've done 10 Listener Parties. It's going to be the 10th one. And I won't give it all away, but, man, you go back and you look at the photos from the very first Listener Party. And it's not that I'm embarrassed by it. I'm not ashamed by it in any way. But you go back and you look at the first Listener Party, and it's just us and a bunch of drunken lunatics standing on the floor of a casino in La Center with bad wood paneling. I've got, like, this long Eastern Romanian dictator hair, like the full-on bad Van Dyke that's all shaggy, terrible glasses. I'm dressed like an a-hole. I've just got terrible clothing on. Tim and Sarah look great. You know, they look fine, but I look terrible. The audience, it's a much different looking audience. The audience looks a lot different. Mm-hmm. It's just, the whole thing just feels so different. And then you look at that, like Listener Party 3 is where it really started to kind of find its groove. And then Listener Party 4 and 5, and then we got bigger venues, and we started having bands come in, and it got bigger and more over the top. And we really started like working at it and preparing it and putting together themes. And just to see the evolution. And again, it's not to say that the ones in the past were not good. They certainly were in their own way, and the ones we've done recently have been fantastic. But really just to see the evolution of the Listener Parties and how they have changed from just an excuse for a bunch of people to stand in a room and just sort of, stare at Christina or whatever in the early days and then drink, and you transition that all the way to where we are now. It really is just amazing. It's that, and I found, I put together a photo gallery of some of the other events that we've had, not just Horns Across the Hawthorne, but I put together a whole photo gallery of the Big Gay Makeover that I did with that guy Joel a few years ago. There's a photo gallery of the Tim Riley Gun Fest. Some photos that I didn't even think I had anymore. So it's just a really strange sensation. So that's coming up next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. That's going to be Listener Party 10, Emerson History X. Let's do these calls, then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What do you got there, Chad?
Two items. Number one, the guy that did the techno remix of Popcorn was a guy named Guru. He was a New York DJ. It was sometime in the early 90s.
Why do you know this?
Because I was a geek back in the early 90s, and I had that type of stuff.
Fantastic.
So.
Okay.
I used to have the tape single. So,
excellent.
And also, just second point, I'm just kind of curious. Sarah, your boyfriend's name isn't actually Raul, is it? I mean, you're just using that for like a so we don't know his name type of thing,
yeah,
right?
His name is not Raul.
There's been some unpleasantness in the past with identifying boyfriends on the air.
I just decided to just leave it. You know, I'm just not going to talk about specific.
Right on. Well, I would suggest using a different name because when you say Raul, I'm just picturing like
Raul Julia,
swarthy Italian guy that you know. Tucks a napkin into the front of his shirt when he's eating pasta, and, you know, I don't think that's the type of guy for you. I'm sorry.
Maybe
I believe you now owe Al Sharpton an apology as well, my friend.
Well, and, you know, actually, I was just talking to him this morning, and, you know, we had we made some plans for a light lunch next month, but, okay. Yeah, I'll definitely apologize next time I talk to him.
All right.
So.
Thank you.
All right. Well.
That's Chad. All right, there you go. Yeah, my wife doesn't tell people what who she's married to at all. Not that I'm like some big celebrity or whatever, but I mean, you know.
I feel like I've learned a lot in the past 5 years. One of the things is definitely, like, I'll talk about my personal life, and, you know, some people know what it is, some people don't, but I don't think I want to bring up names anymore, you know?
Because her.
It's just trouble.
And she thought, Lara for a long time thought she could get away with the, what is your boyfriend and now husband? What does he do? Oh, he's on the radio. And she thought that they would leave it at that, but she learned that people don't leave it at that. It's like, really? What station? And then it's like, what station? What time? And then they would always come in the next day, and it's like, I cannot believe the things he says on the air. If that was my husband, I would never let him talk that way. And so now, she has a whole cover story about where, like, I'm an accountant. Because if you say your husband's an accountant, nobody asks any follow-up questions. Mm. No one cares beyond that.
Yeah, I get emails all the time. People are like, oh, it's weird that you talk about your personal life. It's like, but this is my job.
Yeah. She had to learn that. So she just created a whole diversionary story. Kurt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
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 What am I starting with? Have you guys seen the TurboTax contest video thing that TurboTax put together where they're having people make raps about taxes and Vanilla Ice is going to drop?
Yeah. I didn't see the thing, but somebody told me about it. Yeah, and Vanilla Ice is the judge.
This one local guy, Solo Box, who's like a keyboard artist, who like play four different keyboards at the same time, he put together, it's just hilarious video. It's number 340 in the lineup if you Google TurboTax Master.
And he's number 340.
He's 340. That was his submission number, I think it's too late for preliminary voting, but it's still worth checking out.
And he's a local guy?
Yeah, local guy.
All right. Yeah, well, check it out. I heard about that. What do they win, do you know?
$25,000.
Damn. Yeah. Excellent. Okay,
A lot of terrible videos on there, but he's really, it's like, wow.
Well, the terrible ones are really the best ones, you know?
No, they're actually not so good. They're not anywhere near bested of anything.
We'll check
it
out.
They're really terrible.
All right.
Anyway, check it out.
Thank you, Kurt.
Sure.
All right, there you go.
I'm just have to be fine with the fact that we're missing all of our breaks today, and we're just gonna have to.
We're running late.
Yeah.
I apologize. Final.
Because we have gym in a minute.
What, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yes.
Final call before we don't break. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, where's all the time gone? Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to say that I am in fact part of Listener Party history. I was the guy who had his birthday party at Listener Party 6.
Listener Party 6, which
White
was...
White Trash Barbecue.
White Trash Barbecue.
And Ethan's birthday party.
And Ethan... I remember that now. White Trash
Barbecue. You said happy birthday to me on the air the following day.
I do remember that. Boy, there's some god-awful photos. The one of just of Clyde's back hair. Just a huge close-up of Clyde's back hair.
I really liked the gut contest, too.
That was Sarah had a wet T-shirt beer gut contest.
Yeah.
And all the guys...
That was awesome.
She poured water on a bunch of fat.
SpaghettiOs eating contest.
That was where we had the SpaghettiOs eating contest and the chain. Remember the chain puking had? There was all the vomit that happened there.
Yep.
Seriously, it's, I don't want to sit like we're just sitting here just milking this for nostalgia, but I mean, I was looking through these photos, and we really have done some amazing things that I never would have imagined I would do with my career. You know? I mean, just things that I would never imagine my job went this way.
Yeah, 10 years ago when you started out in Portland, yeah, this is exactly what you thought would happen,
I
right?
had no idea. I had no idea that this was the way my job was going to go. All right, thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
That's Ethan.
Yeah, when I started as an intern, I had no idea that this is where I would be.
It's true. I mean, and here's the, and this is what we'll talk to Jim Roop here in just a second. Here, this is true. And we're so, we're just missing breaks left and right. It is, the whole show is just chaos today. But I, you go back and you look at the photo galleries of the listener parties. And the, and again, it's not a knock on the audience. I think people didn't know what to expect for a while. I think people who came to the first couple listener parties, they came and they themselves were a little conservative, by which I mean, you know, they came dressed not nicely, but I mean not like to party down or whatever. They would just come, you know, whatever, jeans and a shirt. And it was a lot of, the photos show a lot of people just standing around and maybe with a beer in their hand. And then if you look at, if you look through all the photo albums, and we'll have these on display at the next party, at next Thursday. Photo albums from Listener Party 1 all the way through Listener Party 9, which was last year. It's like a gradual, you know, it's like watching a Polaroid photo develop over a long time. And it's like in every photo, there's more and more black clothing, more and more piercings, and more of the photos are either people obviously plastered or girls making out. And it just slowly changed over time. Well, we'll talk more about it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, James Roop. Hello, sir.
Hey, man, what it is?
What is up with you, brother? How you doing? How's life?
How about that Larry Burkhead, huh?
Well, that's what I'm, I see. I knew you'd be talking about this. I just asked Brian Blank about it. It was clear he couldn't possibly, he couldn't even pretend to care. Couldn't even,
really?
Couldn't even feign it. I was, he was just like, yep, that's something. Anyway, like he couldn't even feign interest in it. That's the good thing about you is you can feign interest in a lot of things.
Well, you know, we were kind of all pulling for him, you know?
We, it's not that we were pulling for him. We were pulling against Howard K. Stern.
True.
Maybe. Maybe that's
it
the way
it would have been better had Prince Frederick von Anhalt.
Oh, how great would that have been? How great would that have been? I just wish I could have been there in the room to see Howard K. Stern when the judge told him to get bent. That would have been fantastic. Really, just if the judge would have just said, like, and this court finds, go F yourself. Bam. Gavel. Would have been fantastic. So, in any event. So, there you go.
I think most everybody's satisfied with that result.
Oh, they are. And so, you know, I was reading this big story this morning, though, that said that now, legal experts don't even think, and I swear to God, I can't believe we're still talking about Anna Nicole Smith, but the legal experts don't even think that the baby is going to end up getting the money from the Marshall family, which means that all of this will probably financially have just been for nothing.
Yeah, but I think Burkhead really wanted that kid. I mean, if you watch the news conference after the hearing, I mean, you know, the guy, he was tearing up there. I think he was real happy. I think he really wanted that baby.
Well, I think that's how you can tell. He's the one who legitimately wanted it for its own sake. Whereas I think Howard K. Stern just wanted it because he didn't want to get a job, you know. And that guy's going to be disbarred. He's going to be hella disbarred by the end of the day, probably. So that and then finding this whoever this Dr. Feelgood is that gave her like 9 million pills, you know, over the course of like a year. So she's going to entertain us for some time to come.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this. I mean, before we get to the actual story, have you ever been inside the actual Playboy Mansion?
Yes.
So this is because you did this the bit last week where you tried for Easter, tried to, you know, get through the drive-in to adopt a bunny. but if you now have you were you there as a reporter when you've been inside before?
I was there once as a reporter and three times I think as a guest. Three times as a guest.
Okay, now listen. Now please don't take this the wrong way. It's not, I don't mean to diminish your stature. I'm just saying, now how is it that you got there as a guest? Is this by dint of being a CNN employee?
No. It was before I started working for CNN.
Now, where did you get the clout from? Again, not that you're not an impressive, towering figure, because you are, but I'm saying where... In what capacity were you invited as a guest?
Other radio stations.
Like for KFI?
No, KRLA and it wasn't KFI. It must have been KNOB. Must have been KNOB. Must have been that.
KNOB.
I can't remember.
Wouldn't that just be Knob then?
Seriously, if it's K-N-O-B, I don't think it's K-Knob. I think it's just Knob.
Isn't that funny?
It is. It's redundant. Calling it... That's like...
It was a jazz station, and that's why, because, you know, Hugh Hefner's a big jazz guy, and I was the morning guy.
Oh.
K-Knob sounds like a made-up station.
Seriously, K-Knob sounds like a fake station.
Nope,
on the
look
Simpsons.
It up, man. Go ahead.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
Oh, it's getting a little defensive.
So, I have to, we can talk more about this at some other point, but I mean, so, how do I, this sounds
it's pretty neat. Have you ever been in there?
It's pretty neat. Thanks. Really, the Playboy Mansion's pretty neat. Why don't you just twist the knife a little further? Yeah, it's okay, Rick. Then here's a dumb question. Would I be disappointed by the Playboy Mansion, by the experience?
No, not by the mansion itself, but you'd be disappointed that I
wasn't besieged by women.
People there aren't as friendly as you would think they would be.
Does it feel like you're at a sort of house party, or does it feel like you're at a club?
It feels like a house party. But it doesn't feel like, you know, when you used to watch the Hugh Hefner house party thing on TV,
totally.
Bill Cosby was always there.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like that at all.
Well, that's because I'm not Bill Cosby.
No, but I feel like you're over at somebody's house, and there's just some weird things going on.
Yeah. Well, that's, then did you walk through the grotto area at least?
Yes, I did. But you don't really, you don't get free reign either. They take you through.
Oh, I see.
You know, so you're allowed in certain places,
right?
You know, and if you want to go look at something, someone has to take you there.
So it's not like it's like touring Graceland, where you can't just like wander through Elvis's house.
Yeah, it's almost like I felt like I was renting the place out, and they'd only give you access to certain places.
It's like when you're on one of those rides at Disneyland where there's a steering wheel there, but the car's on the track, and you can't change
where
it's going.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
You can't
steer yourself to save your life.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's still on the list because I'm a guy. It's still on the list of things I have to do. I have to go there at some point. So
it's very cool, and they got very nice decoration.
It's just one of those things that I got to do while Hefner's still alive, because it's part of being an American. It is on my list of things you must do to be a good American, and one of them is go to the Playboy Mansion, or at least try to. You know what I mean?
And when you're there, he's a really nice guy too. I mean, he's a very cool guy.
I'm so jealous that you've been there, that you've had, it's, you know, it's just, and again, not for just all the obvious, like, I like to look at boobs reasons. I mean, that's, you know, that's his empire's clearly founded on boobs, but it's just that it's such a quintessentially American thing, you know, the Playboy Mansion.
I wasn't there on my own notoriety of any kind. I was there because I was part of a radio station.
Now, the real million-dollar question is that did Mrs. Roop accompany you?
I was not married at the time.
Oh. Well, did you go alone?
Does Mrs. Roop know that you went to the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, did you go by yourself?
No, I was with a group of people from the station.
Did you have a date? Did you take a date with you?
No, heavens no, that'd be stupid.
Did you leave the party with a date?
Don't say, don't take sand to the beach. Yeah, did you leave the party with a date?
I had a date there.
That's fantastic. This is the best phone call we've ever had. Well done. So, God bless you, sir.
Does she want to know more?
Sarah, I'm going to step back from the microphone.
I don't remember how my date got home.
Sarah, would you...
What exactly is involved in a date at the Playboy Mansion that you meet at the Playboy Mansion?
I got to get some coffee. I'll let you talk to Sarah for a sec.
Say that again?
Oh, what exactly is involved in a date that you meet at the Playboy Mansion?
Well, you know, you start talking to people and, you strike up a conversation just like anybody else finds a date.
So what made it a date?
I don't know. I guess I bought a drink. Exclusive conversation.
How awkward would
little FaceTime, little one-on-one time.
Little one-on-one time.
Fantastic. All right. There you go. Oh, Scotty's wanting to know if it's a champagne date. All right. Excellent. Well, let me just say that however much the audience loved you at the beginning of this phone call, you've gone up. Your tote board is up like 300%, my friend. You have become even more estimable in the opinion of the audience. So, well done. Well done.
Look, I'm not proud of my past.
Oh, yes, you are. Don't lie. You're completely proud of your
kidding?
Past. I would be.
I wish I had pictures.
I would. Well, they're probably on a videotape in one of Hefner's vaults somewhere. Good God Almighty. All right. Well, there's... I was going to talk about all this other crap, but really, it just seems so terribly awkward to talk about the Playboy Mansion and then to segue into this thing about the sex lives of seventh graders.
Kind of fits.
I suppose, because this is... I don't know a whole lot about science, and I don't have kids, so I don't need to worry about this. But this is this thing where the state wants to give these girls a vaccine against HPV, right? Which is because that's a pretty common
the human papillomavirus.
Yeah, it's a pretty common. It's probably the most common, I think, sexually transmitted disease. And so the state is just like, we got a vaccine against it. Why would you not want your kid to have it? And I guess parents are saying, well, because I don't want my kid to be what Don Imus would call a hoe. So isn't that basically what it boils down to?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what the conservatives are concerned about. But then again, you know, there's always this opt-out feature for any school vaccination. I don't care what it is, you know, even though the state mandates that kids be vaccinated before they go to school or certain vaccinations, parents can opt out of that. And they can opt out of this, too. So it's not like they have to do it. So that word require really should be... is required to offer the vaccination and encourage the girls between the ages of 11 and 12 to get it, because that's when the vaccination works best, I guess.
Right,
that's
right.
What the FDA is saying.
Yeah, so, and I mean, you know, if your parents don't want you to do it, I guess your parents can not have you do it.
Yeah. So really, there should be no debate over this whole thing at all.
And yet?
There is.
Just because people need stuff to bitch about.
That's right, sir.
Really, these people don't feel like their lives are complete unless they can just be fighting something or other. So
that's right.
All right. Well, I mean, is this a thing that's going to go there? Does Schwarzenegger have to sign this into law?
Well, it's just introduced now. It's heard in committee next week, and then after it passes out of committee, which I'm sure it will because it's a pretty strong democratically supported measure.
Right.
And then it'll have to go then to the full legislature and then see what the governor does with it if it passes out of the legislature.
Excellent. Fantastic. All right. Well, I think we kind of peaked like 10 minutes ago at the Playboy Mansion talk. I will let you get back to your afternoon, my friend. As always, it's a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
There you go, brother. Thank you. CNN radio correspondent and champagne dater, Jim Roop. Fantastic. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We're so late. Come back with Chris, who's got a memorabilia call about Listener Party 10, which is coming up next Thursday, April 19th. There will be no grotto at Listener Party 10, by the way. And we'll have Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth around the corner. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Lonely streets I call home.